This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell. Well, we in studio. This is the first episode, guys. And Eddie's in town. It's test week. The Springbok team's been named. There's World Cup jerseys that have been released. So there's loads to talk about. Liam, excited that Eddie's in town?
Yeah, even if it was a dreary week, when Eddie's in town, things always liven up a little bit. He kind of warms to the occasion. If there's a bit of adversity in the air, a bit of a needle, he tends to gravitate to it, and I think we will see that again this week. He's a man that doesn't step away from that kind of, let's say, adversity.
Yeah, he's been a bit quiet so far this week, but we expect it sometime, about the time this podcast probably comes out, Eddie will have something to say, I'm sure. So we expect it. But I mean, just thinking of Eddie over the years, I mean, he's never been one to shy away from a bit of controversy. He's never been – some of my fondest memories of press conferences have been with Eddie. I mean, we spoke about one the other day. Box played I hate bringing up this game, but the miracle of Brighton according to the rest of the world, the disaster according to us. When we played Japan and myself and a couple of the other journos arrived in Brighton to Eddie's press conference, everything in Japanese. We're the only Caucasian guys there, I suppose is the way to say it. We asked, can we ask a question in English? And they said no. And Eddie said, no, mate, let's give him one. And he proceeded to give us this beauty of an answer.
It does like a sermon like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's sort of like rising in tempo. And, you know, we're gonna chop the box down. They're big boys and you're going to chop them down like trees. And anyway, so we got what we wanted. And right at the end of that, you know, as we sort of finished, everybody packed up and Eddie walked over to us and said, right, boys, you enjoy that? The ultimate showman, Eddie. His best one, though, to me, was after they beat South Africa as Japan.
Yeah.
He walked into the press conference, and you know, everybody was shocked. The whole world was shocked that they'd beaten the Springboks. And the first question to him was, Eddie, did you ever expect that to happen? He said, oh, mate, you know, it's like the film. The one with the girl in the shower. Yeah, when you see the knife and you see the silhouette coming up, mate, the knife never came down, mate. And he had us all in stitches that day, but he is a showman. What a man.
Yeah, I experienced the opposite of him once, although it wasn't directed at me. The Wallabies arrived in Durban for a Tri Nations test. I think Jake White was still the box coach. And George Gregan and Eddie Jones walked into the room and they both looked absolutely filthy. And the reason they were, because there was a report the week before written by a South African journalist who happened to be in the room at the time that suggested that he attributed quotes to Jones in which Jones were supposed to have said the box soft underbelly is in fact the pack, which of course will stir the box to action. And that's the last thing Eddie wanted. So at some point during the press conference and he was asked about those quotes, he turned to the journalist in question and there was, let's just say, an inquisition started.
I was trying to think. I mean, the last time I wrote a piece earlier this week that last time Eddie was at Loftus-Versfeld was the 92-3 thrashing of the Bulls. And I'm waiting for one of us to get the chance to ask him that question this week. Yeah. And knowing Eddie, his answer would, oh, mate, you're a rugby historian, are you? You know, that would be his type of answer. But look, he's definitely going to bring something different to the game. I can understand why the box are saying they're going to concentrate on their own game because you never know what Eddie's going to bring, but you must almost expect the unexpected this week.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And we should get a couple of interesting quotes out of him, I reckon.
And in fact, team announcement on Thursday should be fairly interesting. So, looking forward to that. But I mean, Loftus is a very important ground for Eddie. He made his international debut there back in 2001. He took over from Rod McQueen, took over a very successful Wallabies team. They were world champs. They had just beaten the British and Irish Lions. Jones took over his first assignment, and it was a real baptism of fire. He had to bring his team to Loftus for the box under Harry Fullion. And 2 weeks later, his next game was against the All Blacks at Carisbrook. Now, in world rugby, I don't think you could have, at that time, asked for a tougher assignment. They ran the box desperately close. It was a hugely uninspiring 2015 win. I say uninspiring in that it was just trench warfare. I mean, the guys took lumps out of each other. Box won that one 2015, but then I think that showed Eddie Jones that this team can play in any hostile environment. So he took that team to Carisbrook, and they beat the All Blacks for the first time in Dunedin. Mm. And of course, I think that partly is probably the making of Eddie Jones, the making of the legend.
Yeah, and I think this week, you know, expecting the unexpected, I know there's some pundits out there saying that the Wallabies should try and run the box ragged at Loftus at altitude, which seems a rather silly thing to try and do. I don't expect them to play much rugby, to be very honest. I expect Eddie to play very un-Australian rugby this weekend, big pack, and try and lay into the box and try and disrupt them physically and then, you know, kick the ball up, kick the leather off the ball the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, they're expecting Nick White and Quade Cooper to play. If Nick White starts, which I think that is widely anticipated, expect a lot of kicks. But then also another key man for them will be Reece Hodge. He's got the cannon boot. He was asked about it the other day. You know, he's got the big boot, and he was asked whether he fancies chances from his own half, and he was said absolutely, because I mean he'll probably have to take care a little bit in that when he kicks tactically, he could overcook it.
Yeah, I think the box probably have they don't have any big boots. Moni, the box, not really a big boot, and Vili Leroux, the other guys, Andre Estes, and. So the box won't really go for the long kicks, I don't think, but they'll go more for position there. But saying that, Eddie, I think we're all waiting in anticipation for Eddie. And I think this we've got to realize that while this is a test, this is probably the start of a journey for Eddie. Mm. And if we talk about history and revenge and things like that, I don't think Eddie is going to want anything more than to maybe make England blush in a couple of months' time in France. And I think that will be his ultimate game, probably more than winning at Loftus. But, he's starting to put a puzzle together there for the World Cup. And don't be surprised if they surprise a lot of people at the World Cup.
I think if you are a smart punter, you may have to have a look at Australia, because although he's up against it in terms of time, in terms of preparation time for World Cup, if you look at that Wallabies team, the talent available to him, and also their draw, they come from a more favorable side of the draw, you'd have to say that, they will at least, you'd expect them to be in the semifinals. And I suppose once you're there, you should be a contender.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Eddie, one of the other reasons we like Eddie is because he's a man who loves a lot of wine, and this podcast is called Until the Last Drop. Or is it To the Last
Drop? To the Last Drop.
Sorry, first episode and I get the name wrong. But anyway, shows when you have a drop in your glass, you might get things wrong. But anyway, and we all remember in 2018 that test when he brought England here. They got off to, I think it was 24-3 or something, that the lead. And then Piwe Deanti and Spooner Corsi put on this masterclass with a box and they hauled them in. Afterwards, Eddie got a bit harassed by one of the fans.
A little bit.
And but typical Eddie, when we asked him about it afterwards, he was very humble. And this is how he put it.
I was just asking where I could get a good bottle of Pinot Tarche. And I'm still waiting for the answer. So if anyone can help me out, please help me out.
What did they say to you?
They said, go find it yourself. So I'll have to go and find it myself. Guys, I wouldn't worry about that. I thought it was such a great game of rugby. And you worry about one little conversation in the tunnel about a bottle of red wine. I wouldn't worry about it too much, guys.
And speaking of Pinots and looking for good...
Is it Pinot or Pinot in Australia?
Oh, yeah, mate. I think as long as you've got the bottle, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Mind you, Pinot at Loftus might be something else as well.
Yeah, that's also true. There they like things a bit, as they say in Afrikaans, hardekwil. Yeah, so, I think they things that start with the name Klip probably more their style there. But anyway, today we've got a lovely bottle of Middelflay Free Run Pinotage. Free Run being obviously the operative
word. Is that a leak in the bottle?
And if you're ever in Stellenbosch, it's a good place to go. Middelflay does this amazing little thing where you can actually make your own wine. So you get a bunch of different blends and you can blend your own wine, which is a lovely thing for a birthday or a gift, etc. And it's a mate of mine, Ben. Tell him we sent you if you do go around there. While we're about it, it's just a good bottle of wine to enjoy.
Did you try your hand at this?
I have. I've done it several times, in fact. I've got a couple of bottles at home like that. And they even print
Grapes of Wrath? Or no?
Well, none of that. Okay. Eddie might try that, though. But, they even print out the label of your choice for it. So it makes a lovely little thing. It's something different.
That sounds like something I should be doing as well at some point. But wine lens at this stage seems a fair distance off, given our commitments of the next few months, Brendan.
Yeah, we don't have any tests down there at the coast, unfortunately, and I think we're all always looking for an excuse to find a way into the winelands and the Cape. But yeah, the closest we're probably going to get is Bordeaux at some point in the season. Let's hope that's a good week as well.
Mm. Speaking about full-bodied reds and stuff like that, Will Skelton will no doubt be a player to watch if he gets to run out for the Wallabies on Saturday. A lot has been made about his inclusion, along with that of Richie Arnold. You know, the Wallaby engine room will suddenly be stocked and no doubt stoked. What do you make of those selections, and do you think that they will make the big difference for the Wallabies, not just this weekend, but sort of going forward to World Cup? Because Eddie has stated that winning your set-piece ball and having a bit more mongrel up front would be key elements at World Cup.
Well, look, I mean, they certainly, I mean, they've been talking the whole week. Alan Alatoa said they were going to go toe-to-toe with the box. Look, Skelton and Richie, I mean, they've both done exceptional things in French rugby and in club rugby. We've seen that the last season or two. And they're big units. They're massive units. But you always got to ask yourself, what do you give up if you include a guy like that? Mm. And, you know, the Springboks are the type of team who quite probably relish it. You know, the bigger the guy, they'd probably quite enjoy that. You know, no matter who, even Kurt the Orange would probably enjoy trying to bring down Will Skelton. So it's going to definitely make it a bit more of a contest up front than we used to with the Wallabies. Mm. We normally used to them trying to move the pack around a bit. But as I say, if they're not going to play much rugby, it could work in their favor.
Yeah.
And it depends what they bring there. I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, look, it does certainly limit their line-out options because they were asked about it this week, and even the line-outs coach was saying that, you know, it is a challenge to lift somebody with that frame. We're talking 140 kgs, lifting two tree trunks. So it does limit their line-out options, but boy, it does give them a bit of go forward, a bit of mongrel in the tackle. You know, anything in the tight contests, you know, he's going to make his body count.
I'd like to see that pack weight there, because if you Skelton and Richie Arnold, they about 140 each, and if you take the pack, is the front row is probably 100, 110 each. We're going to look at a monster pack when you put all those numbers together.
Well, and that's without Taniela Tupou, because he's still getting back to full fitness. I don't think he can play this weekend. So,
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how the box handle that. But I think they're probably getting used to it, and I suppose, like in Eddie's words, they're going to have to chop them down.
Yeah, that certainly will be a very interesting element to that game. We spoke a lot about Eddie. If you look at the South African camp, his counterpart, and I've asked him about this, Jacques Nienaber, a man that doesn't really like the headlines. You've almost got a situation where the two head coaches are complete opposites.
Exactly. Well, I think probably Russie's probably more the equivalent to Eddie in terms of being just out-of-the-box thinker, to quote a cliche. But, Jacques's a no-nonsense coach. He likes to get down, do the work. He's not the big one for the headlines. And, he's also not going to do the verbal sparring with Eddie either. And it's interesting that if you see the squad they've picked, if we go into that now, it's an interesting squad, because I know there was some suggestions by the Australian media yesterday that it's disrespectful to Australia, but I just think it's probably a compliment to Jacques and Russie about the depth that the Springboks have at the moment.
Yeah.
You could easily make an argument that, other than maybe one or two positions in that team, that you could even be playing just as strong a team as the team that's going to be playing in New Zealand.
Yeah, and they have mixed and matched. I mean, if you look at that team, the starting team, you've got Peter Steff there, you've got Dwayne wouldn't play otherwise, but he's the captain, and he's obviously a much celebrated and successful Springbok. You've got a front row that has Frans Malherbe, you have Bongi Mbonambi in there as well, and you may even have Stephen Kitsoff, depending now on
the injuries,
to Oxenchair. So there are, if you look at the pack, if you just isolate the pack for a moment, I mean, there are some formidable timber in that pack. Guys who have won the World Cup, they've achieved against the British and Irish Lions. So by no means a second-rate team.
And if you look at that, I mean, you'd say Dwayne might not be playing, but I mean, Dwayne would probably walk into 90% of the teams worldwide, just on experience alone. Mm. And he is a rather physical guy. Peter Steff as well. I mean, he was World Player of the Year a couple of years ago. Mm. Marco van Staden's been itching for a chance. He's had 10 caps. He hasn't started a game
great
yet.
Great opportunity for him.
So in front of his home crowd, it's a great one to do as well. The locks is going to be the interesting one. We've spoken a lot about John Klein in the media in the last couple of weeks, but it'd be interesting to see what he brings. And great opportunity for Marvin Ory to stake a World Cup claim. There's lots of competition amongst the locks at the moment. Mm. The front row to me, whichever front row you play, the box we've shown in the last couple of years, it doesn't really matter. They both are formidable.
Yeah.
So I think if you look at the back line, you can make the argument Kanan, Moody and Kurt the Orenser could easily slot into any Springbok team. So Willie LaRue's the starting choice as well. Lucanio's the starting choice.
Yeah.
Flyoff's going to be the interesting one. Marnie's be under pressure and the Aussies will try and put him under pressure.
And it won't be the first time a team will try and put Marnie under pressure. I mean, he's operated under that scrutiny for the longest time for the Stormers. But obviously this is a step up. So the challenge will be bigger. But if you look at his performances for the Stormers, I don't think he could have done much more. He did have those two blemishes against Munster. But apart from that, I mean, he's had a stellar season.
Well, I think Eddie's the type of coach who'll learn from that and he'll try and put him under the pressure. And I think the worry for Marnie is he's very much a confidence player. So if his first touches, go well, he's excellent. If he drops a ball or he misses a kick, his confidence drops. And Loftus's crowd is not his biggest fan, I would say, because he comes from the other part of the country, obviously, and he didn't have the greatest spell at the Bulls. And if that happens, you could see the crowd putting a bit of pressure on him as well, which would be unfortunate.
Yeah. If you think back to Elton Yankees last year, that test against Wales, where the Bucks had a pretty horrible first off.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But this is test rugby. This is where you're going to get that, whether it's an opposition crowd or your own crowd. They expect you to be the best in the country. So, yeah, that's the pressure Marnie's got to handle, and it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you look at the team that will – when I say the team, the players that will fly over early in preparation for the All Blacks test, you'll still have – or you'll probably have five or six guys who are playing this weekend – who will be starters next weekend. So, that argument about, it being a sort of a Springbok B team doesn't really carry any weight.
Well, the one interesting one about those guys, because they were all the players we expected to fly over, Faf, Eben Etzebeth, Lua de Jager. You could almost see the team sort of coming together. Malcolm Marks will probably start against the All Blacks. Yeah. But the one interesting selection to me was Jean-Luc Dupreer, who's flying over, who's obviously going to get his chance amongst those guys as well. And he'll obviously get a start there. And that'd be interesting because he's always been one of those players, him and his brother Dan, on the fringes. They've performed in English rugby and club rugby. But there's always been just so much competition in the loose forwards.
Yeah. Of the Dupreez, I think he's been the one that's been knocking on the door hardest, to be fair.
And it's good for him to have a chance because, I mean, look, we've got lots of depth at flank as well. But you never know what's going to happen the next couple of days. There's only five test matches left to the World Cup, including this weekend. And you've got to know who your best team is by the time you go to the tournament.
And I suppose that's what makes this test, Saturday test against the Wallabies, a big one for Peter Steff to tour.
Yeah, we haven't seen him for a while. I mean, the last time he played, he got the red card, if I remember right.
Marseille, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's got something to prove. And from all accounts, he was one of the best players in the Japanese league. We always a bit sort of iffy about whether we should take that seriously. Quagga was their player of the season, for instance.
But I think it serves a purpose for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he went through the season, he got form back, and he's fit and ready. And I think that's the thing. We know he's a player that can rise to the occasion. But yeah, it's a different thing doing it in Japan and doing it in a Springbok jersey. He's done it before. We just got to see if he can do it again.
The back three does excite me because it's basically the back three that will be operating for the Bulls in next season's URC, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think Bulls fans will be pretty happy about that. It's just interesting we're talking about Springboks, but just to talk about that, I mean, the Bulls have now got a bunch of fullbacks. They've got Jaco van der Walt, Johan Goosen can play fullback, Henry Immelman, David Creel, Willie LaRue, Kurt the Orenser. They've got so many options. It's going to be interesting how they get that mix right. But those three operating at Loftus on a dry summer's day, because we're playing now summer rugby most of the time.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is for the Bulls is that after this World Cup, there's no November tour. So Willie LaRue will be able to have a long stint with them until the box get together again. So yes, that's also a good thing. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle that.
But, of course, there's this first hurdle to get over. I mean, I know we spoke about the All Blacks now, but the Wallaby Test is certainly one that will capture the imagination this weekend. And there's parts of me that can't wait for this because there's obviously the Eddie Jones factor. There's a full Loftus. The last time the Box played, they delivered a convincing performance against England. Mm. So I think fans will still feed off that and expect something similar. So I think there's quite a bit to look forward to.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm just looking forward to seeing Loftus full again. Yeah, 50,000 people. We haven't seen that for a long time. And it's just nice to see people excited about rugby again. And we still got to realize that we're going into the World Cup now. So there's a lot to talk about.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's not just the rugby championships, but then there's the three tests following that, the rugby or the warm-up games, it's sort of leading up to Rugby World Cup. I mean, those are going to be obviously important as well. So as much as you want to win the silverware, there's the momentum that you need to take forward into those games against Argentina, Wales and the All Blacks.
Yeah, I think every game you've got to take a step forward, and that's the way the Box, win or lose, your plans have to take a step forward. Mm. Saying that, talking about the World Cup though, there's been a couple of jerseys sort of launched, a couple of very interesting ones. The Argentina alternative strip seems very sort of South American dictatorish with the sash going across. Yeah. And then there was
Pinochet or Pinotage. Yeah. What would that be?
Pino. the monstrosity for me was the All Black one, and you don't take our word for it. One of our good friends, Martin Devon, one of the top New Zealand radio guys, had his little rant about it. Listen to what he said.
No, the more I look at this, the more I just think, no, why? What are all the squiggly bits and what's all that about? It's an All Black jersey. Very simple, black, All Blacks, Rugby World Cup logo. Apparel designer or manufacturer, that's all you need. You don't need a stupid collar and you don't need all these squiggly bits.
Yeah, as a man with distinct opinions, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, lots of squiggly bits on that jersey for some reason. And it's, look, I'm kind of with him in that the All Black jersey just lends itself to simplicity. I mean, there's the black background and you just do little bits on it. Remind people of what the jersey is about and that's it.
Well, they're not Stade Français. I mean, we don't expect them to come out with like a pink and polka dot jersey. I mean, you'd need
a special president for that, wouldn't you?
So, I mean, that's why it's been so strange. And I think you're right. Simplicity is key with the All Blacks. Mm. Yeah, you know what to expect. And this is the designer was a French street designer called Fay the Wolf, which I'm sure is going down very well with all the All Black fans as well.
Well, they're crying wolf now, aren't they?
No, exactly. No, I mean, you look at the Springbok jersey that's been launched, and I mean, there's not much to say about it. The one thing I do like, I want to point out, is the way they put in the collar the flag, which has always been sort of a talking point amongst the Bok fans as well. Mm. It's a nice little touch. There's not too much. The alternative jersey, probably not everybody's cup of tea, but not too much to say about that, to be very honest.
Yeah, I looked at it, but I looked away very quickly. So I don't want to say too much about it.
Well, I think the only team we're really going to play in it is probably Ireland if we lose the sort of toss. We'll probably play some team in it, and let's hope it's somebody like Romania that we play in it. But it's an interesting one. Let's leave that one there. Saying that, we're all looking forward to Loftus on Saturday. Let's go for a quick prediction, Liam. What's your prediction?
I'm going to go Springboks, I think actually very similar to the 2001 game. It won't be a spectacle, but it will be a grind and a bit of an arm wrestle. And I'm going to go for 19-15 for the Box.
I think it's going to be a closer one, but I see the Box scoring as they try to pull away by 10 points. Mm. It's 27-17, sort of that sort of thing. Mm. I don't think it's going to be
hard, dry surface. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's not going to. I don't think it's going to be a classic of a rugby game. I think both teams are going to try things out. So, I see a Springbok victory, and I see probably a very colourful Eddie Jones press conference afterwards.
Wonderful. Thanks, Brendan. We'll do this again next week, and I hope you can join us. Thank you.
Yeah, good to chat to you guys. See you guys next week.